Rise and shine, folks. How's it going out there? You're listening to WGDR Plainfield, WGDH Hardwick, Central Vermont Community Radio at 91.1 FM and 91.7 FM on your dial. And this is Amy's Kids Show, and it's a Saturday morning, folks. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that I'm here at WGDR Plainfield. And we are celebrating as usual. We love to celebrate fun things here on Amy's Kids Show. And today we're celebrating something very special. But first, let me tell you that community support for Amy's Kids Show is provided in part by Woodbury Mountain Toys, featuring a selection of toys and games for kids of all ages. Located at 24 State Street in Montpelier, Vermont, more information about Woodbury Mountain Toys can be found at woodburymountaintoys.com. Come in and play with us. Well, I'm glad you came in to play with me today. Boy, it is a nice foggy morning. And on this nice foggy morning, I'm going to take you guys somewhere pretty special. We're going to go to the jungle. The jungle. Yes, I know. The jungle. It's quite a long ways from Vermont, but it feels a little jungly out there today in central Vermont. And so I thought it would be a good day for a story. We've got a really good story about an elephant. Now, we're always celebrating our favorite animal friends, and elephants are many people's favorite animal friends out there. And we're going to celebrate a special elephant today called, his name is the Elephant Son. And he has a special talent. He has something called insatiable curiosity. Well, what is insatiable? Insatiable means impossible to satisfy. So he cannot satisfy his curiosity. Well, what is curiosity? Well, curiosity actually comes from the word to care. It has to do with caring. When you care about something, you're curious. You want to know more and more about it, right? Why is that thing the way it is, and what makes it work, and how does it do that, and why? And how does that affect other things? And what if I put it over here, what might happen, right? And so curiosity is a very, very special talent. Now, does the elephant son's friends and relations think his curiosity is a special talent? Well, actually, no. That's part of the funny part of the story is, even though I'm sure they love him very, very much, they don't have curiosity. And so they're just like, stop being curious, elephant son. And they actually try to encourage him to stop, but he doesn't. So we're going to find out what happens. Let's celebrate elephants and curiosity today. Thanks for joining me.
La 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 America and England looking for a home. New Zealand, Europe, and even Peru. Then they went to China, found a forest of bamboo. Singing, I want to go, oh, oh, to the jungle on the bungalow.
Family live close to the jungle. At the end of the day, they all sit together around the fire. They have their supper, then relax and talk a little. The youngest boy becomes afraid. He hears all the sounds of the wild animals in the forest. Cheetahs, wolves, jackals, and lions. He starts crying at the darkness and wild sounds that fill him with fear. Then his mother takes him in her arms and sings to him. The family is always strong together. They protect one another. Grandparents, his father and mother, uncles, aunts, cousins, brothers and sisters, they all join and sing together. Soon he falls asleep. Only the beautiful song fills his ears.
Well, folks, it's time for our story. And I really enjoyed that last song we just listened to, The Lion Sleeps Tonight, because I don't know if you noticed, but there weren't any instruments being played. The only sounds that we heard were coming from human voices and human bodies. And that's pretty cool, because the story we're going to listen to, The Elephant's Child, is being told by Jack Nicholson. But all of the sounds that you hear in the background, including right now in the background, are being played by Bobby McFerrin. And Bobby McFerrin must have been a very curious child, because he figured out how to make all of these sounds by himself, using just his body. So I thought you might find that a very curious thing to pay attention to and care about while you listen to the story. Enjoy.
In the high and far off times, the elephant, oh best beloved, had no trunk. He had only a blackish, bulgy nose as big as a boot that he could wriggle about from side to side, but he couldn't pick up things with it. there was one elephant, a new elephant, an elephant's child, who was full of insatiable curiosity. And that means he asked ever so many questions. And he lived in Africa and filled Africa with his insatiable curiosities. He asked his tall aunt, the ostrich, why her tail feathers grew just so, and his tall aunt, ostrich, spanked him with her hard, hard claw. He asked his tall uncle, the giraffe, what made his skin spotty, and his tall uncle, the giraffe, spanked him with his hard, hard hoof. And still, he was full of insatiable curiosity. He asked his broad aunt, the hippopotamus, why her eyes were red, and his broad aunt, the hippopotamus, spanked him with her broad, broad hoof. And he asked his hairy uncle, the baboon, why melons tasted just so, and his hairy uncle, the baboon, spanked him with his hairy, hairy paw. And still, he was full of insatiable curiosity. He asked questions about everything he saw, or heard, or felt, or smelt, or touched, and all his uncles and aunts spanked him. And still, he was full of insatiable curiosity. One fine morning in the middle of the procession of the equinoxes, this insatiable elephant's child asked a new fine question that he had never asked before. He asked, "What does the crocodile have for dinner?" Then everybody said, "Hush!" in a loud and dreadful tone. And then they spanked him immediately and directly without stopping for a long time. By and by, when that was finished, he came upon a Kolokolo bird sitting in the middle of a wait-a-bit thorn bush and said, "My father has spanked me, my mother has spanked me, and all my aunts and uncles have spanked me for my insatiable curiosity, and I still want to know what the crocodile has for dinner." Then the Kolokolo bird said with a mournful cry, "Go to the banks of the great, gray, green, greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees, and find out." That very next morning, when there was nothing left of the equinoxes, because the procession had proceeded according to precedent, this insatiable elephant's child took 100 pounds of bananas, the little short red kind, and 100 pounds of sugar cane, the long purple kind, and 17 melons, the green crackly kind, and said to all his dear families, "Goodbye. I'm going to the great, gray, green, greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees, to find out what the crocodile has for dinner." And they all spanked him once more for good luck, though he asked them most politely to stop. Then he went away, a little warm, but not at all astonished, eating melons and throwing the rind about because he could not pick it up. He went from Grahamstown to Kimberley, and from Kimberley to Comma Country, and from Comma Country he went east by north, eating melons all the time, till at last he came to the banks of the great gray-green greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees, precisely as the Colo-Colo bird had said. Now you must know and understand, O best beloved, that till that very week and day and hour and minute, this insatiable elephant's child had never seen a crocodile and did not know what one was like. It was all his insatiable curiosity. The first thing that he found was a bicolored python rock snake curled round a rock. "Excuse me," said the elephant's child, most politely, "but have you seen such a thing as a crocodile in these promiscuous parts?" "Have I seen a crocodile?" said the bicolored python rock snake in a voice of dreadful scorn. "What will you ask me next?" "Excuse me," said the elephant's child, "but could you kindly tell me what he has for dinner?" Then the bicolored python rock snake uncoiled himself very quickly from the rock and spanked the elephant's child with his scalesome, flailsome tail. "That is odd," said the elephant's child, "because my father and my mother and my uncle and my aunt, not to mention my other aunt, the hippopotamus, and my other uncle, the baboon, have all spanked me for my insatiable curiosity. And I suppose this is the same thing." So he said goodbye very politely to the bicolored python rock snake and helped to coil him up on the rock again, and went on, a little warm, but not at all astonished, eating melons and throwing the rind about because he could not pick it up, till he trod on what he thought was a log of wood at the very edge of the great, gray-green, greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees. But it was really the crocodile, O best beloved, and the crocodile winked one eye like this. "Excuse me," said the elephant's child most politely, "but do you happen to have seen a crocodile in these promiscuous parts?" Then the crocodile winked the other eye and lifted half his tail out of the mud, and the elephant's child stepped back most politely because he did not wish to be spanked again. "Come hither, little one," said the crocodile. "Why do you ask such things?"
"Excuse me," said the elephant's child most politely, "but my father has spanked me, my mother has spanked me, not to mention my tall aunt, the ostrich, and my tall uncle, the giraffe, who can kick ever so hard, as well as my broad aunt, the hippopotamus, and my hairy uncle, the baboon, and including the bicolored python rock snake with the scalesome, flailsome tail just up the bank, who spanks harder than any of them. And so, if it's quite all the same to you, I don't want to be spanked anymore."
"Come hither, little one," said the crocodile, "for I am the crocodile." And he wept crocodile tears to show it was quite true. Then the elephant's child grew all breathless and panted and kneeled down on the bank and said,
"You are the very person I've been looking for all these long days. Will you please tell me what you have for dinner?"
"Come hither, little one," said the crocodile, "and I'll whisper." Then the elephant's child put his head down close to the crocodile's musky, tusky mouth, and and the crocodile caught him by his little nose, which up to that very week, day, hour, and minute had been no bigger than a boot, though much more useful. I think, said the crocodile, and he said it between his teeth like this, I think today I'll begin with the elephant's child. At this, O best beloved, the elephant's child was much annoyed, and he said, speaking through his nose like this, let go, let go, you're hurting me. Then the bicolored python rock snake scuffled down from the bank and said, my young friend, if you do not now immediately and instantly pull as hard as ever you can, it is my opinion that your acquaintance in the large pattern leather ulster, and by this he meant the crocodile, will jerk you yonder into limpid stream before you can say, Jack Robin's son. This is the way bicolored python rock snakes always talk. Then the elephant's child sat back on his little haunches and pulled and pulled and pulled, and his nose began to stretch, and the crocodile floundered into the water, making it all creamy with great sweeps of his tail, and he pulled and pulled and pulled. And the elephant's child's nose kept on stretching, and the elephant's child spread all his little four legs and pulled and pulled and pulled, and his nose kept on stretching, and the crocodile threshed his tail like an oar, and he pulled and pulled and pulled, and at each pull the elephant's child's nose grew longer and longer, and it hurt him itches. Then the elephant's child felt his leg slipping, and he said through his nose, which was now nearly 5 feet long, this is too much for me. Then the bicolored python rock snake came down from the bank and knotted himself into a double clove hitch round the elephant child's hind legs and said, rash and inexperienced traveler, we will now seriously devote ourselves to a little high tension, because if we do not, it is my impression that yonder self-propelling man-o-war with armor-plated upper deck, and by this, oh best beloved, he meant the crocodile, will permanently vitiate your future career. That is the way all bicolored python rock snakes always talk. So he pulled, and the elephant's child pulled, and the crocodile pulled. But the elephant's child and the bicolored python rock snake pulled hardest. And at last, the crocodile let go of the elephant child's nose with a plop that you could hear all up and down the Limpopo. Then the elephant's child sat down most hard and sudden, but first he was careful to say, thank you, to the bicolored python rock snake. And next he was kind to his poor pulled nose and wrapped it all up in cool banana leaves and hung it in the great gray-green greasy Limpopo to cool. What are you doing that for? Said the bicolored python rock snake.
Excuse me, said the elephant's child, but my nose is badly out of shape and I'm waiting for it to shrink.
Then you will have to wait for a long time, said the bicolored python rock snake. Some people do not know what is good for them. The elephant's child sat there for 3 days waiting for his nose to shrink. But it never grew any shorter, and besides, it made him squint. For, oh, best beloved, you will see and understand that the crocodile had pulled it out into a really, truly trunk, same as all elephants have today. At the end of the third day, a fly came and stung him on the shoulder. And before he knew what he was doing, he lifted up his trunk and hit that fly dead with the end of it. Vantage number one, said the bicolored python rock snake. You couldn't have done that with a mere smear nose. Try and eat a little now. Before he thought what he was doing, the elephant's child put out his trunk and plucked a large bundle of grass, dusted it clean against his forelegs, and stuffed it into his own mouth. Vantage number two, said the bicolored python rock snake. You couldn't have done that with your mere smear nose. Don't you think the sun is very hot here? It is, said the elephant's child. And before he thought what he was doing, he schlooped up a schloop of mud from the banks of the great gray green greasy Limpopo and slapped it on his head, where it made a cool, schloopy, schlossy mud cap all trickly behind the ears. Vantage number three, said the bicolored python rock snake. You couldn't have done that with a mere smear nose. Now, how do you feel about being spanked again? Excuse me, said the elephant's child, but I should not like it at all. How would you like to spank somebody? Said the bicolored python rock snake. I should like it very much indeed, said the elephant's child. Well, said the bicolored python rock snake, you will find that new nose of yours very useful to spank people with. Thank you, said the elephant's child. I'll remember that. And now I think I'll go home to all my dear families and try. So the elephant's child went home across Africa, frisking and whisking his trunk. When he wanted fruit to eat, he pulled fruit down from a tree instead of waiting for it to fall as he used to do. When he wanted grass, he plucked grass up from the ground instead of going on his knees as he used to do. When flies bit him, he broke off the branch of a tree and used it as a fly whisk, and he made himself a new cool, slushy, squishy mud cap whenever the sun was hot. When he felt lonely walking through Africa, he sang to himself down his trunk, and the noise was louder than several brass bands. He went especially out of his way to find a broad hippopotamus. She was no relation of his, and he spanked her very hard to make sure that the bicolored python rock snake had spoken the truth about his new trunk. The rest of the time, he picked up the melon rinds that he had dropped on his way to the Limpopo, for he was a tidy pachyderm. One dark evening, he came back to all his dear families, and he coiled up his trunk and said, "How do you do?" They were very glad to see him and immediately said, "Come here and be spanked for your insatiable curiosity." "Pooh," said the elephant's child. "I don't think you peoples know anything about spanking, but I do, and I'll show you." Then he uncurled his trunk and knocked two of his dear brothers head over heels. "Oh, bananas," said they. "Where did you learn that trick? And what have you done to your nose?" "I got a new one from the crocodile on the banks of the great, gray, green, greasy Limpopo River," said the elephant's child. "I asked him what he had for dinner, and he gave me this to keep." "Looks very ugly," said his hairy uncle, the baboon. "It does," said the elephant's child, "but it's very useful." And he picked up his hairy uncle, the baboon, by one hairy leg and hove him into a hornet's nest. Then that bad elephant's child spanked all his dear families for a long time till they were very warm and greatly astonished. He pulled out his ostrich aunt's tail feathers. And he caught his tall uncle, the giraffe, by the hind leg and dragged him through a thorn bush. And he shouted at his broad aunt, the hippopotamus, and blew bubbles into her ear when she was sleeping in the water after meals. But he never let anyone touch the Cola Cola bird. At last, things grew so exciting that his dear families went off one by one in a hurry to the banks of the great, gray-green, greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees to borrow new noses from the crocodile. When they came back, nobody spanked anybody anymore. And ever since that day, oh best beloved, all the elephants you will ever see, besides all those that you won't, have trunks precisely like the trunk of the insatiable elephant's child. Thank you.
elephants kiss, elephants kiss. How do elephants kiss, elephants kiss, elephants kiss? Well, they reach out their trunk to another elephant, and they pucker up their snoozle for to kiss their sweet caboozle. And all the elephants have a smoochy oot-a-tack when they hear the elephant's big smack-a-whack. And that's how elephants kiss, elephants kiss, elephants kiss. That's how elephants kiss, elephants kiss, elephants kiss. How do starfish shine, starfish shine, starfish shine? How do starfish shine, starfish shine, starfish shine? Well, the motion of the ocean is the starfish potion, and they dance in the sand to the seaweed band. When their feet start to wiggle, they start to giggle, and they feel so fine that they start to shine. That's how starfish shine, starfish shine, starfish shine. That's how starfish shine, starfish shine, starfish shine. How does the moon beam, the moon beam, the moon beam? How does the moon beam, the moon beam, the moon beam? Well, the day turns to night and the stars shine bright, and the little sleepy heads get tucked into beds. Their little dreams are so sweet it seems that the moon up above just beams with love. That's how the moon beams, the moon beams, the moon beams. That's how the moon beams, the moon beams, the moon beams. That's how elephants kiss, elephants kiss, elephants kiss. That's how elephants kiss, elephants kiss, elephants kiss. That's how starfish shine, starfish shine, starfish shine. That's how starfish shine, starfish shine, starfish shine. That's how the moon beams, the moon beams, the moon beams. That's how the moon beams, the moon beams, the moon beams.
You gotta push, push, you gotta push the elephant, push, push, you gotta push the elephant, push, push, you gotta push, push, if you wanna get the elephant on the bus. You gotta push, push, you gotta push the elephant, push, push, you gotta push the elephant, push the elephant, push, push, if you wanna get the elephant
out of the house.
You gotta push, push, you gotta push the elephant, push, push, you gotta push the elephant, push the elephant, push, push, if you wanna get the elephant
over the hill.
You gotta push, push, you gotta push the elephant, push, push, you gotta push the elephant, push the elephant, push, push, if you wanna get the elephant
back to the jungle.
Okay, girls, let's push. Push the elephant, push, push.
Push, push, push the elephant, 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 push, push.
When the king and queen decided they would have a formal dance, invitations were delivered and it happened quite by chance. Through an oversight of someone's, whose it was I can't recall, Engelbert the elephant was invited to the ball. What excitement in the jungle, what a holy hullabaloo. What a race to find a costume and to learn a step or two. You could feel the jungle shaking, and I bet it's shaking yet, while Engelbert was learning how to dance the minuet. All the palace lamps were lighted as the sun was going down, and the music of the orchestra was heard across the town. The dance was just beginning when there came a mighty roar. Your Highness, there's an elephant, and he's standing by the door. Then the guard turned out from everywhere, they came from every place, to where Engelbert was standing with a smile upon his face. He was dressed in latest fashion, on his trunk he wore a ring. He presented his invitation with the seal of the king. So the soldiers formed an escort and they led him to the ball, where the orchestra stopped playing and a hush went through the hall. Though the king and queen were speechless, and I'm sure they're speechless now, Engelbert the elephant made a very lovely bow. Then the queen began to smile at him, the band began to play, and Engelbert was dancing in the very nicest way. The ladies were delighted at the way he turned and spun, and before the night was over, he had danced with everyone. When they sat down to dinner, Engelbert sat on the floor. He nibbled most politely, though he really wanted more. When the final dance was called for, such a sight you've never seen, for it was by the royal command he danced it with the queen. And when the ball was over and the guests began to go, they escorted him to the city gates and they gave him quite a show. For the band had come along with them and the band began to play, and the dance he did along the road is talked about today. Yes, they talked about the dancing and you know they're talking yet of how Engelbert the elephant performed the minuet.
A zebra xylophone, camel kicks the kettle drum, tiger slides off his trombone, yak attacks the sax, first violin's a moan, porcupine on bagpipes punctured them with holes. It's a lion's big debut, he's blue as blue can be. Zebra wears a keyboard and the kangaroo's off key.
a bobcat on the banjo, hair slapping a snare drum. Washboard has a wallaby, oh, the oboe's opossum. French hen on English horn, Celesta played by skunk. Panda ate his bamboo flute, and the elephant blasts his trunk. It's the lion's big debut. He's biting at his toes, 'cause the seal is barking with cymbals on his nose. Pooping grain on clarinet, armadillo. Plays the piccolo. Monkeys on the mandolin. Baboon on bassoon. Hyena harpsichord. And a sloth played the spoons. Spoons? He just hung around and snored. It's the lion's big debut. He's just a little pale. The beaver on the upright bass goes wacky with his tail. Gorilla bangs a gong. Dobro's a wolverine. Tambourine has a tree frog tromping like a trampoline. Chipmunks on the chimes. Rattlesnake, rattlesnake on castanets. Turtle plays the tuba, but he hasn't showed up yet. It's the lion's big debut, and he's fainted on the floor. The rattlesnakes in the audience, and the audience went out the door. And there's silence, but for one tingling triangle. All the players have left the house, and the lion finishes the piece with an intrepid little
so much fun doing the elephant hip hop. I had to come running back to the microphone here. to let you guys know that we are at the end of Amy's Kids Show, and maybe I'm getting a little loud. Sorry about that. It's just been so exciting around here, celebrating elephants and celebrating curiosity. And I really hope you enjoyed that story read by Jack Nicholson. And all of the sounds were made by Bobby McFerrin using just his voice and his body. Boy, Bobby must have been quite a curious kid. Can you imagine growing up in a house with Bobby McFerrin when he was a kid? I mean, he was probably so curious and making all kinds of noise and noises, and I'm sure they didn't all sound perfect to start with, right? He was experimenting, and he must have made some mistakes and made some really weird noises, and if you were his brother or sister or something, you might have been like, whoa, you're weird. Will you stop? You're annoying me, right? All these different things. You know, well, we don't go around spanking each other, I hope, the way that the elephant's family spanked him. We do sometimes try to discourage people from being curious and in different ways. And good thing Bobby stuck with it because, boy, you know, he's made a whole life out of, you know, making these amazing pieces of music all by himself using his body. And he's made these amazing pieces of art that we can all listen to still today. So way to go, Bobby. And I'm not sure what you guys are all curious about today. Maybe you're curious about some of the same things that the elephant son was curious about. Why does the giraffe have his spots, you know, and what does the crocodile eat for breakfast? Those are good questions, and it's our curious brains that have, you know, helped us get along in life and helped us improve and have such a great, wonderful existence. And look at the elephant's son. Now that he has a trunk, right, he can do all kinds of amazing things, and he can even pick up the rinds when he's done eating his melons, because he was a tidy pachyderm. That's my favorite line from the story. He was a tidy pachyderm. So if you're curious about what that sentence means, he was a tidy pachyderm, maybe you can look that up today. What's a pachyderm? What does it mean to be tidy? And I also really appreciate that at the end of the story, two amazing things happen, right? Everyone stops spanking each other finally. Yay! They get along as a family should, right? A family of animals. And the elephant son protects the colo bird. So we're going to have a little colo music going out. Thank you for joining me, guys. Thank you, colo birds and elephants. Have a great weekend. Do 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 do